This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A violent crime in New York City over the weekend has turned the holiday season here into a moment of anxiety and reflection on the issue of law enforcement and community trust. Here are the details. A profoundly disturbed drifter from Baltimore named Ismael Brinsley shot his ex-girlfriend with a 9mm pistol, boarded a bus to New York City, and ended up in Brooklyn, where he targeted two NYPD officers with four shots while they were sitting in their vehicle in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood on Saturday afternoon. Officers Wenjian Liu and Rafael Ramos died, and shortly afterward, Brinsley shot and killed himself at a nearby subway station. The tragedy of that violent crime is compounded by the fact that moments before the shooting, Baltimore police tracking a suspect issued a warning that Brinsley was armed, dangerous, and in Brooklyn. But the warning was too late. And the lingering echo of this crime comes from a deranged Instagram post from Mr. Brinsley himself on Saturday. "I'm putting wings on pigs today," it wrote. "They take one of ours, let's take two of theirs. Hashtag shoot the police." By linking his acts to police incidents in Missouri and Staten Island, Brinsley has opened a rift between political leaders and police here in New York City. And following the shooting and the dangerous exchange of words in its aftermath is WNYC reporter Bridget Bergen. Bridget, welcome.
Hi, John.
So take the pulse of New York City, and how does it reflect a wider debate and discussion about this sense of trust between law enforcement and political leaders?
Well, what we have seen here in New York ever since the grand jury's verdict in the Eric Garner case specifically, and that was, of course, the case where they decided not to bring criminal charges against a police officer in what was a chokehold death that was caught on videotape.
And protests. That's the Staten Island case that I referred to.
Exactly. Right. We've seen protests on the city streets almost nightly ever since then. And so a growing sense of passion and organization among people who have been calling for reform within the police department. That comes up against sort of a growing sentiment among people within the NYPD and some supporters of wanting the mayor to make a stronger statement that he supports the department, that he thinks that what they've been doing and the work that they do is important. He respects it. He values it. And I think what you hear is the mayor has been trying to balance both those sentiments, saying it's important for the democratic process to allow for protest, while at the same time acknowledging that the NYPD has done really up to now an amazing job dealing with the constant protests on the streets, dealing with them peacefully, giving people some space to vent, while he also tries to bring some reform to the department, you know, doing some wholesale retraining and changing some of the policies that have been problematic in the past.
Let's stipulate that at no point had the protesters here in New York or generally around the country been calling for violence against the police, right?
Absolutely not. If anything, they had been saying that violence took away from their cause. There was one incident on the Brooklyn Bridge not long ago where two police officers were assaulted, and that has, again, added to the tension between City Hall and some within the NYPD. We also are hearing a lot from the police union officer president, Patrolmen's Benevolent Association president Patrick Lynch, who has really been ratcheting up the rhetoric in terms of how he says his officers are being treated by this administration.
And we should say that the anxiety among police around the country and in New York is understandable in this time post-Eric Garner. But what about this rhetoric? Patrick Lynch saying, you just mentioned him there, "There is blood on many hands tonight, those that incited violence on the street under the guise of protest." And he says that blood is on the hands of City Hall and Mayor de Blasio himself.
To give a little context for that statement and really to show how pointed it was, this is a comment that he made at the hospital the night that these two officers had died and, you know, came right after the mayor and the police commissioner were talking about the circumstances in the investigation that they were now commencing. We have heard Lynch make really aggressive statements towards the administration in the past. About a week earlier, he had suggested that members sign an affidavit that would say that if they died in the line of duty, they didn't want the mayor and the city council speaker to attend their funeral.
Which raises a huge issue. De Blasio has to go to the funeral of these officers, and there will be a confrontation.
He absolutely plans to go to it. It's something that I asked his spokesman yesterday, and certainly it is a sign of respect. It's something that the mayor of the city of New York will and should do. Whether or not there is a conflict is something that the mayor has to deal with up to this point. He's had maintained a very public presence with his police commissioner, Bill Bratton. Yesterday they attended Mass together at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and at one point Cardinal Dolan said from the altar, he asked Commissioner Bratton and his chief of detectives, James O'Neill, to bring a message back to the NYPD that people loved them, people supported them, people cared about them, and would he please bring that message back? And almost spontaneously, the church erupted into applause. So I think there is certainly support for the department. There are people who want to make the department better and continue to call for reforms. And Mayor de Blasio is stuck there in the middle, trying to keep both of those sides from, you know, from going after each other.
Work, tension, and a reconciliation that definitely is going to be a theme of this holiday season here in New York City and around the nation. Bridget Bergen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bridget Bergen is a reporter for our partner producing station, WNYC News. Columnist and longtime voice of the New York Street, former Village Voice writer Stephen Thrasher, now a weekly columnist with The Guardian, joins us. Stephen, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
So I'm deliberately not reprising sound of people who are passionately affected by this cop killing on either side. And I'm just wondering if this whole rhetorical environment takes you back to the days of much greater tension between the NYPD and the community here in New York City.
In my time reporting as a reporter for the Village Voice, I haven't seen as much tension as there is right now. Reporters, friends of mine, people like Graham Raymond or people who have covered the NYPD for longer, I think have. But in the times that I was covering it, I have not seen as much tension. I should say I haven't seen as much tension between the police department and the mayor. I've certainly seen as much tension, more tension between the police and protesters. And one of the most salient things I've noticed that is a difference between the Bratton and de Blasio NYPD is that I've gone to so many events where I knew every protester and members of the press would have been arrested under Mayor Bloomberg. You know, during Occupy Wall Street, people were either – if you went into the street at all, you would be arrested. And oftentimes press or bystanders on the sidewalk would often be arrested in mass arrests. So that is a very different thing that is less tense now, I would say.
Is the de Blasio administration sort of being tested right now in terms of leadership?
Definitely. There are, as Bridget was just saying, there are emotions that one would expect. And as you said, voices that are very loud after a police officer is killed, understandably so. But PBA President Lynch really set the stage for a lot of confrontation by sending out that emotionally manipulative letter asking people to sign away banning the mayor from their hypothetical future funeral. So that ratcheted up the rhetoric a lot. Also, I was reporting on Friday night at a pro-police rally, which had a counter-protest outside of City Hall. And while it was very small, it did show context of a lot of tension that would have come, obviously, much more so less than 24 hours later when two police officers were killed.
I'm wondering if Lynch reflects an actual sense on the part of the NYPD that they're not getting any support in the wake of the Eric Garner case. I mean, if you look at Mayor de Blasio's background, he's got a biracial son. He had to sort of acknowledge that this issue of cop fear in communities is something that's real in his family. What could he have said if he had said, the jury has spoken, the grand jury has spoken, no indictment, we live with the system and move on, I support the police? He would have angered another constituency.
Of course. There's nothing that he could have said that would have pleased everybody. But that's one of the interesting things I've seen about the response to all these protests is that the groups who are, in this case, the PBA here in New York, outside of the context of the killing on Saturday, but before that, the groups always find some reason to complain about protesters. They'll say in the Mall of America, you can't stop people from shopping. And in Ferguson, they'll say you're not doing anything constructive. And the PBA, who speaks for some cops but not all, I've talked to cops who say he doesn't speak for them. But obviously when you see police officers in uniform turning their back on the mayor of the city of New York, you have to be very concerned, which happened at the hospital on Saturday night. You have to be very concerned about the relationship between between the civilian command and the NYPD itself.
But if you're a journalist, right, and two journalists are shot sitting in their car by someone who posts an Instagram saying, "I hate free speech. They slandered my reputation for some story or slight in the past." As a journalist, you'd be looking for support statements and be terrified to walk the streets.
Of course. And that, of course, has happened for in foreign cases a lot more often. But in such situations, I think it's important to listen to the people who are directly involved, but not let them direct the entire policy in ways that could be counterproductive. So, of course, it's very obvious that the police are very spooked right now. And I'm spooked that they're spooked. We have a police force of 35,000 people, and they're the ones who have the guns. And they might be feeling much more afraid right now. And that's why I don't think it's a good idea for somebody like PBA Lynch to be throwing gasoline on the fire, that they need to show a leadership that's going to create more calm and not sort of escalate the cycle of violence.
Is this possibly a failure of leadership on both sides, though, in the sense that this is more like Sandy Hook? This is really an opportunity to say availability of guns is what caused this. That's the deal. Nobody said a word.
No, there are all kinds of things like that. You're right, John, that could be brought up. And what I found in reporting in Ferguson, which I've been in St. Louis a couple times this year and here in New York, is that there's a very different dynamic, right? If you have a Sandy Hook, if you have school shootings, you'll at least have people looking at the children involved and feeling sympathetically about them. I found when I was in Ferguson, there was no sympathy about the black children that were also in the same neighborhood where Mike Brown was killed. And I think we do need to elicit empathy and sympathy in these situations. And there hasn't been a lot of leadership at looking at the broader issues. So when you have—
But you're sliding away from it too. This is a mentally unstable person with a gun who causes a huge incident. That's exactly the same as Sandy Hook. The issue in Ferguson didn't involve a gun, except that a cop had the gun there. I mean, this we wouldn't be talking about Ferguson if it wasn't for somebody with a gun.
Right.
Was able to commit this violence.
Right. And, of course, that's a very – you know, that this was an issue of – the point I was trying to make is that there are broader issues, including
right.
the issue of mental health, including the issue of gun violence, including the issue of poverty and the marginalization of people. Those are legitimate issues that we have to step back and look at more broadly. And you're right. We don't want to look at them. We don't want to hear leadership about them. And the PBA is not going to go in tight on looking at those kinds of things. There's a lot of nuance and there's a lot to be looked at. But we do have to consider that this was a very unstable man who was at the margins of the law. And the NYPD wants to have a monopoly on violence. I mean, it's what you're saying.
Monopoly on victimhood here.
On victimhood, and in Ferguson as well. You're right. Somebody had a gun. Generally, the status quo says it's okay as long as the police have guns. And now that the police are facing gun violence as well, it sort of flips the narrative, which can make them more trigger happy or not.
We're living in the complexity and the intensity of feeling surrounding this incident over the weekend. Stephen Thrasher, weekly columnist at The Guardian. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.